Hi, loves. Happy Tuesday and welcome back to Mommy on the Move. Since Sunday is Mother's Day, today's episode is dedicated to my mom tribe. You may be wondering, what exactly is a mom tribe? Well, it's your gang of mommy friends you've carefully curated over time since you started having kids. Basically, your mom tribe is your lifeline to maintain sanity while doing this thing called motherhood. If I'm being completely honest, up until about 2 years ago, I had no idea how important it was to have a mom tribe. As a first-time mom, I didn't really think I needed one. Dre was playing basketball overseas, and I was 23 years old with a newborn. Basically, I was a newborn raising a newborn. None of my college friends had kids yet, and the friends that I had from college, I made while taking shots of tequila out of a baby cup. So I hadn't technically mastered the fine art of making mom friends as an adult. I relied heavily on my parents. They became my friends. I lived with them for the first year and a half after little Dre was born. I'm pretty sure this was my mom's favorite time ever because for the first time in my life, I did everything she asked me to do, that she told me to do, exactly the way she told me to do it, with no hesitation. There was no social life. There was just work and then back home to take care of the baby. When little Dre and I finally did move overseas to be with Dre while he was playing basketball, we were so focused on learning how to become a family and how to raise a baby and how to live together that there really wasn't much time for me or for me to make new friends. I did everything with the Dres pretty much all the time. If there was some girl time in between, I usually just brought little Dre with me, so me time wasn't really a priority for me. Between my parents and my in-laws and my husband, I thought I had all the help I needed. A built-in mom tribe, if you would say. Then one day in 2016, we found out we were moving to Toledo. Dre got a new job, moving us 2 hours away from my parents and an hour and a half away from his, and we had 3 kids in tow. Now, I know most of you just heard that distance and thought, well, that's not really too bad, tears being a big crybaby. Well, yes, partially I was. But in all honesty, to go from living super close to my family who can help us on a daily day-to-day, and I can say, hey, mom, can you watch the kids while I go to the grocery store, or Dre and I really want to have a date night tonight. Could you take the kids for us? I never really had to go outside of my family in order to have help with the boys. Even for work, my mom was able to watch the boys for me while I worked at that time. And so obviously if we move 2 hours away, they're not going to be able to help us on those day-to-day things anymore. And so again, because I'm a smother mother and didn't know how to let go, I quit my job and decided to stay at home full time with the boys. It just made my husband and I more comfortable with Devin and Dallas still being so small and with his schedule just getting busier and busier. It made us feel more comfortable for me to be at home with the boys full time. And so in the blink of an eye, I was back in the mommy bubble again with no friends and my entire day revolving around the kids and my husband. I had already made up in my mind once we heard we were moving that there really wasn't a point in trying to make new friends because we just end up moving again anyway. And then one of the coach's wives from Toledo asked me to go to a Pure Bar class, which, by the way, should be called Pure Hell. It was awful. A great workout, but I was sore for days. But anyway, she asked me to go to a workout class and then to have drinks after. And as we were sitting and we were having drinks, we were discussing physically and emotionally unpacking. And so we were talking about how we were similar in the fact that when we would move to a new place or a new city or a new home, that we would keep a couple of boxes that we just would never really unpack because we knew we were moving. And we were doing that emotionally as well. And so I was being friendly. I was being cordial with people, but I wasn't really building real friendships with people because I knew that the time would come that we would move again. And so I felt like there was no point in doing things like that. And so in having that conversation with her, I really just decided that I wasn't doing myself any favors by not completely diving into the communities that I lived in out of fear that I was going to pick up and move. I mean, get it together, right? And so I met the sweetest people. I mean, God is so funny in the way that he so gently and delicately enters us into these new situations. And so he literally brought me the best people for me. They were funny. They were lighthearted. They loved my kids like they were their own. They treated them like they were family. And as a mom, there's nothing better than knowing that you can leave your child with someone else and that person loves them and is going to treat them right and treat them well and feed them and, you know, all of the things that they would do for their own kids that they're going to do for yours when you're not there. And so it's just a really refreshing feeling. And it took me a while to get here. I'm not going to lie. And a lot of days now I'm still pretty hesitant to ask for help when I need it. But there was a cold winter night in January back then that really kind of like fast tracked this whole situation. My husband was away at a game during the season and little Dre was up to his usual boy antics. We have a pull-up bar that my husband uses. You can place it over the ledge of the door and use it to do pull-ups. And little Dre decided he just had to take it for a spin while I was giving Devin and Dallas a bath one night. Of course, he didn't put it onto the door the right way, and he fell off the bar, and then the bar fell off of the wall onto his face. And honestly, I was immediately irritated. Like, that's what you get because nobody told you to climb the walls like a crazy person. And then so you fall in, that's what you get. So little Dre's kind of a drama king here and there. Anybody that knows little Dre knows I'm not telling a fib. And so he was crying and he was holding his face and crying. And so I was like, whatever, that's what you get. I don't feel bad for you. Too bad. And I mean, I'm a boy mom. Give me a break. As many bumps and lumps as these kids get, if I freaked out every time they fell, I'd never have a life. I wouldn't be able to do anything else in life. And so when he fell, I was like, you know what? That's what you get. Whatever. And he dropped his hands from his face and all I could see was blood gushing out of his face. And I immediately panicked. And of course, the first call I made was to who? My mama, you already know, because I don't know what to do, but I'm sure she does. And so I called her, and after about 5 minutes of the bleeding not stopping, I realized I was going to have to take him to the hospital to get stitches. It was just, there was nothing else I was going to be able to do. And so at this point, I had to make a decision. Was I going to wrap my babies up and drag them out of bed and get them dressed and drag them out into this cold Ohio winter weather to take them to this ER full of germs and then, you know, sully the experience for little Dre, who is afraid and is scared and doesn't know what to do. He's, you know, he's got blood gushing out of his face, which is not normal. And so if I have Devin and Dallas with me, I can't give Dre the attention that he needs in that moment as well. And so I had to make a mommy decision at that moment to say, okay, you got to drop your pride, Tiara, and text your neighbor and see if she can just come over and sit with the boys while you take Dre to the ER. And I felt horrible because not only do I, you know, of course you don't want to have to ask for help, but you definitely don't want to have to ask for help and not know how long you're going to need that help. And it was a school night. She had kids too. She works really early. And so I really felt horrible having to even ask, but I was like, you know what? The worst thing she can do is say no. And then I have to take the kids with me anyway, but I'm just going to ask. And I think before I could even finish my sentence, she was already knocking on the door. And I just was overwhelmed with emotion because she was the family that I needed in that moment. I didn't have any family close by. And it was so reassuring to know that if there was an emergency, if there was a situation, that she would be willing to help me out because she knew, you know, that my situation was unique in the fact that there's going to be a lot of nights where I am at home alone with the boys and I may need some help. And, you know, her and her husband both are teachers. And so they have a regular schedule, a quote unquote regular life, as opposed to ours, which is so up and down and crazy. And so to know that she was so willing to just drop everything and come right over was it really, really just was overwhelmed me with emotion. And I'm forever grateful to her for that night. So thanks, Beth Ann. You're the best. To know that she would come over and do that for me. And so I have no choice but to see the women that have been strategically placed in my life as a huge blessing, because you can't leave your kids with everybody, and you can't tell every, you know, vent to everybody, and you can't, but the women that I have in my life, I can do those things, and I'm so grateful, and I hope that they feel that they can do those things with me as well. And even as something as simple as just a time to vent. I mean, Beth Ann and I would text back and forth, and if we were having a rough day, she would send me a text and say, meet me at the fence. We shared a backyard, and she would shoot me a text, meet me at the fence. And I would go back there. The first time I was like, is everything okay? I wonder what's going on. And I go outside and I see her. She's standing at the fence with a bottle of wine and two glasses waiting for me to come out. And we stood at that fence for about an hour, just laughing and drinking. And we may or may not finish the whole bottle, but it's just those types of situations where you just have someone who knows what it's like to be a mom, and who knows what mom life is like. And I mean, only another mom would hear this story of Dre busting his face in the middle of the night and not be able to nod and smile and say, yes, something exactly like that happened to me too. Let me tell you about it. I mean, those are the moments that make you feel less like you're in a bubble and more like a human being just trying to navigate life the best way you know how. I mean, even today, for example, I was taking the kids, Devin had soccer practice today, and my mom friend here, who is near and dear to my heart, I told her she was going to get a shout out on the episode today. She offered to keep all of my boys for me while Devin and her son went to soccer practice. And not only did she offer to keep the boys, but she's tutoring little Dre as well in math. Thank God she's a godsend, because fourth grade math is literally ruining my life. And she's a fourth grade teacher. And so not only does she deal with, you know, teaching all day, she has her own kids, but today she offered to keep mine too. And she goes, you know, just go do something else. I'm sure there's you have something else that you could be doing for an hour. Go do it. And so I was able to come home and get dinner started, which was amazing, because we came back from soccer practice and actually she had already fed them some food. So Devin and Dallas, of course, didn't eat. Dre ate like he hasn't eaten since yesterday, of course, but yeah, just being able to have those types of people in your life who can look at you and say, you know what, I want to keep the kids for you for a little bit. You go do something else. Go do you. And to be able to return that favor back is a huge blessing, and is something that I will never overlook or deny is necessary to my life. So now, 2 years later, I'm a mom tribe pro, you could say. Yes, of course, we still move a lot, and hopefully not anymore. Hint, hint, Michigan, keep us here for a little bit. But not only do I like to hang on to the mom tribe that my previous mom tribe that spread all along the journey and along the way, but now I make sure that I have a mom tribe as soon as we move, if possible. And so because moms are key. And so, of course, moving to Michigan, now I've got a whole Michigan mom tribe that is vital to my life and so key. And I can ask them whatever questions I have, and they just have so much knowledge. Some of them are older. I have younger moms in my mom tribe. I have praying moms in my mom tribe. I have wine moms. I have school moms. I have sports moms. You know, no, you name it, and they're a part of my mom tribe, and they all play a major piece in bringing it all together and just getting through the day, which is great. Honestly, even just seeing a meme about motherhood on a rough day can strangely make me feel at peace that I'm not alone, or that I'm not crazy, or at least not crazier than anybody else, because let's be honest, I'm probably a little bit crazy. I mean, for example, I never feel more in tune with another mom than when she tells me she had to make her kids sandwiches with hot dog buns. I mean, if that is not hot mess mom written all over it, and not to mention I have been the mom. We've never used hot dog buns, but I have had kids sandwiches made on hamburger buns a time or two. It happens. And so just a quick shout out. Some of my favorite mom pages on Instagram are at Scary Mommy, at From the Bottom of My Purse, at That Bad Mom Life, and at Mother Lucker, just to name a few. Those are some of the ones that you see those funny memes and you're like, boy, is that my life? Of course it is. So finding mom friends in real life takes a little more effort than an Instagram post. I tend to use, we should get together, drink wine, and bake cookies and shit as a standing invitation. Just kidding. Well, kind of. I have had the rare encounter at the park where your kids are playing together and you're not sure if you could ask her, if you should ask her for her number, or you just hope that you run into her again at the park soon. Picture like first date jitters, but you're at the slide on a playground with another chick. Yeah, it gets really awkward. For the most part now, my mom tribe consists of neighbors, wives from my husband's jobs, moms from the kids at school and the different sports that the kids play. I mean, you name it, we've got a mom from there that I talk to and that we've exchanged numbers and that we hang out from time to time. I mean, as a mom, you basically just cross your fingers and pray that to the mom gods that your kids don't make friends with the kids who have weird moms. So far, so good. Thanks, Dre, Devin, and Dallas. So, a huge thank you to all of the wonderful women in my mom tribe. I hope you all know who you are, even though I only named a few here on the podcast today, but it is an abundance of women that from family to friends, old and new, you all have become a major, major part of my mom tribe. And I thank you all from the bottom of my heart for your guidance, your knowledge, your vulnerability more than anything, your transparency. All of that creates and helps create a stable-minded as I can be most days, mommy on the move. And so I thank you all from the bottom of my heart. Because, of course, after all, life does not come with a manual. It comes with a mom. So happy Mother's Day to everybody. I hope you guys all have a wonderful Sunday. And I hope the people in your life treat you so great and treat you to a wonderful day, because you guys all deserve that and then some. So thank you guys. And I will talk to you guys next week.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.